I love book studies. I hope you do too, because it, you know, for me, I share that it not only my encouragement is to the church, but in my own walk and understanding. And I even go back, I look at the books that I've read or done sermon series on, and it requires extra studying. I will read them in my quiet time, and it ministers to me all over again. It's like, did I learn anything the first time? You know, just because I preached on it, do I know everything that there is to know about those books? No. God is new every morning, and I encourage you that it's to be a reader of the Word and allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to you in what He has for us. I think about sermon series helps us focus in on what God has for us. I went to the laundry room the other day, the laundry room in our home, and I got there and I couldn't remember why I was there. And some people say, oh, that's Alzheimer's, dude. You're losing it. Well, call it what you want. I went in there, I was like, oh, I'm in the laundry room, check the dryer, and there's towels in there, so I start folding them and get them done. And I was like, you know, maybe that's why I was in there. And so later on I realized that the reason why I went in the laundry room was to go get a box of Kleenex. I was, you know, you have to retrace your steps. You go back. Had I gone back to where was I? You know, go back to the bathroom and go, what was I doing? What was I looking for? Oh, I bought Kleenex. We ran out, so it was to get. Sermon series and book studies is kind of the same way. It keeps us on track. Just like going to the grocery store, lists are critical for my shopping. Not only is it remembering what I need, it's cheaper. Because otherwise you're just going down, it's like, oh, we need that, oh, I want that, let me get that. It's like, oh, this is on sale, let me get, and you go home and you already have five of them. It's like, what in the world? Sermon series and going to studies in the book are important because it helps keep us on track. It's like, what is it we're trying to accomplish? What is it God's trying to do? You know, why should I preach sermon series? What's the point of preaching, let alone a sermon series? I want to briefly look at Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What's the reason that Jesus gave these gifts to the church? He gave it to equip the church. To say, hey, we need to learn, just like you send your kids to school. It isn't just babysitting. It's to help them learn, to help them mature, to help them grow to be adults that are ready to be productive, healthy parts of society. We get equipped for works of service. There's things that God created before we were born. Before we were born, He created us to walk in good works that He planned for us to do, to give us strength to grow and be healthy part of the body of Christ, to develop a unity of faith so that we are all going the same direction. There's nothing more wonderful than being unified about doing stuff together, with friendships, with working on a project in a church, to all be going the same direction. It's you know how it is. It's like, one, you get some work done. Two, you get like three times as much done. Why? Because there's encouragement. There's ideas that come. There's creativity that comes. In the early church, talks about when the church members, first they were called the way, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Then they came to be called what? Christians. Christians means little Christ. Those early disciples recognized that they were being formed into the image of Jesus. The equipping is not just for works of service, but preaching to become the image bearers of who Jesus is. As a pastor, I'm called to be a pastor. And it is not just for your benefit of why we go to church, but for my benefit. Say, this is what we're trying to do. This is my mission. This is my calling to equip everybody to become healthy and mature. So when I preach, that should be my goal. That should be my mission. It isn't just illustration or isn't just stories. It isn't just something that you can go read at home, but allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us to become more like Christ. I think sermons, as we preach, it's a balance between coming and being encouraged to continue to do what you know is right. You know, I'm talking about things that you know you're walking, and they go, oh, I'm doing that. Oh, I need that is important. Don't quit. I wanted to quit doing that. To be word that gets preached to be encouraging. Well, what else should it be? It should be challenging. So that we're saying, man, how I'm living isn't lining up to what God says I should. Ooh, ow, that hurt. So that we're changed. We're being transformed in the likeness of Christ as we step into and finish 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We're going to step into a new sermon series. And this sermon series is called We Living by Faith. Living by Faith. Coming from, kind of like the context of it is from 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. And in this first week, we're going to just talk about, kind of like set an intro, talk about what living faith is, what it looks like. And then in the weeks to come, we'll take specific areas and challenges that we live in and apply what does living by faith look like in this situation, in this circumstance, and how we live. Living by faith as a Christ follower is different from how the world lives. They have their own set of standards of what it is that living by faith looks like. Living by faith will determine how you personally grow and how you mature. Hey, I love this verse, Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Faith is the only way that we can pursue God. Because you have to, it sounds like no-brainer, right? You have to believe that God exists in order to pursue a relationship with Him. You're not going to pursue something that you don't believe is there. You think about any relationship. You're not going to go and apply for a job that you don't think you're going to get. You don't develop a relationship with somebody. You don't, you know, even football practice. You don't go to practice. You don't stay on the team unless you think you're going to play. They talk about, you know, as you watch, I'm a big college football fan. I love it's the challenge of they have some super talented freshmen first year, but they hardly ever get to play. What they're playing and they're practicing, they know, and every once in a while you'll see them go in and it's like, wow, there's some skills there they're developing. They're hoping that what? They get to be the starter as a junior or senior. They don't know when, or maybe somebody gets hurt. They don't know in a moment. They got to be ready. But they know that they're putting in the hard work because they believe that it will pay off. Our faith is the same way with God. It's the only way to have a relationship with God, because He is spirit, right? We learned from John. God is spirit. It's not something we see, but something we sense, something that we derive from what we see. Without faith in the unseen, you and I will never believe that God exists. We can see the results, right? Paul talks about in creation, you see the result of God. You see His incredible creation. It is, I'll just say it straight up, it is ridiculous to think that the world is by chance. I mean, something so intricately designed, just colors, seasons, of things. Hey, are you guys enjoying fall? Starting to enjoy fall a little bit? See the leaves change colors? The red, we went over the mountain. We got to see, is it the higher elevation? The reds, the leaves. It is gorgeous. I know that's like an old person word, right? It's something my mom used to say, and now I can say it. It's true. It's just beauty. It's like the design of the seasons. You know, we have flowers in our yard that didn't, I almost said hatch. These flowers did not blossom until fall. And they're resilient. Even in the heat, they keep blossoming and new buds come. It's like, that isn't chance. And the eagle that flies in our, behind our house is just beauty. It is by God's design to believe that what we see isn't by chance. That there's something invisible. You cannot prove God exists. You can't prove that He made the world. All you have is the result of it. And you have to say, you know what? I believe that something visible came from what is invisible. Faith is the only way that we can experience God. The only way that we can have relationship with Him. Without a relationship with somebody, you can't know what they're like. You have to say, and just, and I think what Paul again talks about in Romans 1, he says that you can see God's qualities by what He's created in the world. That there's a design, there's an order, there's a beauty, there's a provision that He's made. That those are God's qualities in how He made you and me and our bodies to function. Without relationship, you can't appreciate their gifts. You know, people who don't know you or and you get a gift, it's like, oh yeah, won the lottery, big deal. But when you have somebody who gives a thoughtful gift, say, hey, I see you need this. I think I shared last week that we went camping and my wife's birthday's coming up and the kids got us a new tent because the one we have lets the rain in. And they saw a need. And we got that baby ready for the next time we go camping. We're going to make sure. In fact, to make sure we didn't use the old one, it went in. We donated to the dumpster at the campsite. It was a sad day. You know, we had a little burial service for it because it had a lot of memories with it. But we got rid of that sucker. And it was so good that our kids paid attention to give us a gift. Faith is also the only way that we can please God, right? Without faith, you can't please God. Why? Because you have to believe He exists. You have to want a relationship with Him. You have to recognize that, man, God, You're a genius. Lord, thank You for making me. Thank You for making my family. Thank You for making my wife. Thank You for making my kids. Thank You for making my friends. Those kind of things that we can't thank God. We can't worship Him for what He's given, what He's done. Without believing that He exists. Faith that He exists is a faith that He deserves credit for what we see. A faith that He's speaking to me, speaking to you. A faith that He loves us. As we walk out those things, a faith that He's speaking through His Word, that He's speaking through His Holy Spirit, that He's speaking through circumstances, that He's speaking through prayer, that He's speaking through you guys. Because God uses His church to speak to us well. Like, is it just coincidence or is it God working? Hebrews 11:1, and I know we have it on the wall here too. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Faith is confidence. As we always think of faith as kind of the earthly kind of faith, kind of like I hope that's the case. I hope that's going to turn out. Faith in God, living by faith, is stepping out and saying, man, I know it's going to happen. I know that God is going to take care of me. I don't know how. I don't know from where. But having confidence that God is going to handle it. Faith gives us the boldness and how we walk in things we don't see happening. It gives us confidence in saying, you know what, I'm not sure how it's going to... In fact, if you and I can see how things might be, is not faith. If you and I are walking out what we see, it's not faith. It might be good planning. It might be wisdom, but it's not faith. Faith is walking in things that you don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know how. I love it. I just think about just different things that have happened as my faith grows. Is when things don't turn out like I want them to. Have you guys ever get disappointed? You're like, oh, what in the heck? That was going to be how things are supposed to work out. Is to be able to say, God, I can't wait for you to surprise me. To say, this isn't worked out. I don't know why or what happened. I walked out faith and this didn't work out. God, I'm looking forward to how you're going to surprise me. Because I believe I'm walking exactly what you told me to do and things aren't coming together. I mean, it's a good question. God, did I hear you right? That's a good question. Did I not hear you right? Oh, I did. Well, then I get to trust you. And it's fun as I've experienced that and saying, I'm just walking forward. And to see God's surprises of provision, surprises of answers that I wasn't looking for, that I didn't expect in that way. That's walking by faith, saying, I don't want to be in a bad mood when things don't go the way I want them to. I want to say, okay, God, this is all you. This is on you. You tell me what's going to happen next. You tell me what to do. Make sure I'm in the right spot, but you're going to have to deliver on this. Being confident that God is going to deliver. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Right? Man's wisdom cannot stand to think, to believe that there's a God. We have lots of theories, right? What's the one most of us grew up with? What was the theory of the beginning of creation? Was the Big Bang. Boom, it was there. And they say, well, where did that power come from, this Big Bang? Well, I don't know, but that's how it started. There's no God involved. It just came from nothing. Wait a minute. So there's something from nothing. Yeah. Where did that something come from? That we come up with all these different theories of things that happen that exclude God. When we walk out in faith, what does the word says? It gives us understanding how things happen. We talked about it's just not coincidence. My faith says that when I'm praying about something, when I'm struggling to say, have an answer, what's a relationship or understanding, when that understanding comes, like James says, when you pray for wisdom, believe that God's going to give it to you. Don't be like a ship tossed about on the waves, but be through the waves, through the crash, and say, no, I know God gave me his wisdom. I'm walking this out. I'm walking this out because I know God's in this. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but I know that it is. I tell you that I feel like my life is a series of blessings that I had nothing to do with other than being faithful to God. I could not navigate the life that I have. I could not navigate the marriage I have. I could not navigate the kids I have. I could not navigate being a pastor if it wasn't for my faith in God. Say, God, I trust you. Lord, I'm not sure how this is going to look out, but this is what I'm called to. It's not working out like I thought. God, I'm waiting for your surprise. I'm waiting for surprises. I'm going to be faithful in what you've called me to do. Faith gives understanding in those things we can't put together. Say, God, I know that you're working. I know that you love me. I know you're true to your promises. Faith gives understanding of what we see, knowing that the unseen is at work. I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians 5. verses 4 to 6. For while we are in this tent, these bodies, we groan. Some of us groan pretty loud. I've heard you groan. And are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as His deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. That's the context of this theme verse for living by faith, is recognizing there's something bigger than what we see. You know, every single one of us were created for eternity. We have an imagination, a desire to keep living. It's only as our bodies deteriorate that we're like ready to put in the hang in the towel. It's like, God, in fact, all of us, when we feel crummy, when we're getting sick, we pray for what? God's healing. God's healing. And He does heal when our assignment isn't done. But there's a point in time, I'm going to make a prophetic word here. You are all going to die. If Jesus doesn't come back, you're all going to die. You heard it from me. You say, Pastor Scott, He gave a prophetic word today. He told me I'm going to die. We know. Is that something we look forward to? No. But it's our faith that says yes and amen. That we have for this very purpose. Paul reminds us, God fashioned us not to be clothed with these broken down sinful bodies, but to be given new bodies that will be in heaven to worship Him and serve Him in ways that we can't think or imagine, but it'll be way cooler than you and I could think or imagine. Faith gives us that understanding. Not only that, as we describe what faith is in the not yet seen. Like Paul says, it's not faith. If you can see it, that's not faith. And I'd say that it's not just what you can see with your eyes. It's if you think you can figure it out and put it together, that's not faith. It may be intelligence. It may be hard work. It may be wisdom. It may be good planning, but it's not faith. Faith is saying, I believe in things that God's called into existence that I have not seen yet. And I don't know how they can come about. And that's, we exercise faith. That is the essence of faith. That is what pleases God when He says, will you trust me that I will bring to pass something that you can't figure out on your own? Something you can't even put the pieces together. I mean, it drives scientists crazy. And there's been amazing discoveries in physics and astrophysics and science that helps put pieces together, but it still doesn't answer where did it come from. Even the ability to look at things with conclusions and correlate atoms and electrons and viruses and antibodies, you know, just the ability, the brain, I mean, it goes on and on. Just the ability to understand that stuff came from God, who created it all. For we live by faith and not by sight. Because of faith, we do not live by what we see. And that's super hard. That is Christianity, though. Is to live a life different than what you see because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Is your faith in God. Because what is Paul says, because faith in what you see is temporary. It's what you see, these chairs, this piano, the screen, the person next to you, what you see with your eyes is temporary. And think about everything you put your faith in. It could be a job. If you can see a job, that's temporary. If you put your faith in a person, you can see them. That's temporary. Faith is in the unseen. That's why I say that's how you please God, by putting your faith in the unseen, the invisible, because God is spirit. Faith in the unseen is eternal things. Living by sight depends on what you see or you can see happening. Living by sight are things that please what feels good, what's comfortable, what gives you pleasure. Things that you see coming together, things that are easy, things that make people like you. Those are all temporary things. Let me talk about living by faith versus living by the world standards. It's what I call a paradigm shift. A way of thinking, a way of looking at things that's different. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Living by faith looks for the unseen. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Even that verse. So we fix our eyes on what is seen. Does that sound impossible? What kind of eyes are they talking about? Eyes of our heart. Spiritual eyes. To focus on what is unseen. Because that's what's eternal. I think about the Sermon on the Mount. Here's a description of what the unseen is. Those blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. All those things that Jesus preached, another kingdom paradigm. He says, this is what? Well, how did he begin all those? Blessed, blessed, happy, fulfilled, resourced are people who are poor in spirit. How do you measure that? Is that something you can see? No, that's something that's inside. That's something that settles your heart. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, right? When he is telling Samuel, evaluating David's brothers, tall, handsome, buff. Don't you have another guy? Oh, yeah. That's our youngest. He's in the field. Little scrawny David. Then what the Lord says to Samuel, the Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. There's a kind of thing that God's looking for, and it's not the stuff you and I value. What is it that God's looking for? He's looking for faith. He's looking for us to act on what His Word says, act on what is unseen rather than the seen. I think about just that practical thing. One of the first scriptures that I remember remembering, and then I passed that joy on to my kids, was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and we'll look at them in two parts. Proverbs 3, 5, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I think about living by faith is to trust God. Living by faith requires that we trust God. Trusting somebody is the foundation of any healthy relationship. If you don't trust somebody, you don't have a healthy relationship. Yeah, you don't have any relationship, or you don't have a healthy relationship. Part of that process is getting to know them. Getting to know that what they say, they're going to do. Knowing, and then we've all practiced, I practice it with friends. You're like, oh, I really like them. And as you hang out with them, you share a little bit of who you are with them. Something private, something personal, something important to you. And you see how they handle it. You know, one of the ways is, do they reciprocate, right? Do they tell you something back important to them? Or how do they treat what you said? Maybe they say, wow, I feel honored that you'd share that with me. Immediately, you know that they recognize that who you are, they value that. And so that trust grows. And so maybe as the friendship grows, you tell them something deeper or harder and how they handle it. It's the same thing with God. As we walk in relationship with Him, as we grow our trust, we will grow our faith in who He is. So when He said something that we don't see happening, I mean, who is the father of faith? Abraham. He's the father of faith because he had zero kids, zero children, and God, Abram means father. Abram. Abraham means father of a nation. No kids, and God changes his name from Abram, father, no kids, to father of a nation, no kids. And why is he the father of faith? Because it says, Abraham believed God, even though it was impossible. What was Abraham's, if you guys know the story, what could he see happening? He couldn't see it happening with Sarah, so what did he do? Him and Sarah, they had a kid. Abraham had a kid with Hagar, his wife's maidservant. You know, there's a lot of heartache in the world. In fact, we see what happened in Israel, because you know that Arab nation are the children, ancestors of Ishmael. There's a battle that still goes on today because Abraham walked out what he could see happening. And in that culture, that was completely normal. Did you know there's things that are completely normal that you and I think are normal and how you do things that is not faith? That is creating a heartache in your life, heartache in my life, heartache in our city because we're doing things the way the world says is normal. In fact, you will not get anybody give you a hard time for living like the world. In fact, they will encourage you. Say, that's a great idea. You should keep doing that. You should do that. And God says, no. When we don't live by faith, it's going to cause problems. And even that is faith in the unseen. Because you have to believe that there's a consequence for not trusting God. Just like when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God say? On the day that you eat this fruit, you're going to die. And they ate the fruit. And what happened? They didn't die. Still here. But did they die? Yeah. They died spiritually. That faith not only says, God, you're going to reward me for trusting you, that when I don't do what you tell me to do, when I don't put my faith in you, I'm going to have a consequence. Whether you see it or don't. Why? Because it's faith in the unseen. I don't know how this is going to mess me up. In fact, I feel better now that I did that. Faith says, no, you may feel better. You're going by what you see and feel. But God says, no, there's a consequence. You just broke relationship with me. And there's a consequence when you don't walk out your faith with me. Trust is a process of relationship. As our trust grows, so our relationship goes. We grow in our faith in who God is. And that second part, Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. I struggled with how to write this down, and I've experimented a couple different ways, but I wrote it down as living by faith motivates all we do. And I'll tell you in a minute why I landed there. But I think it talks about submission, and I wrote down, in fact, even before service, I changed it right before service. I go with my sermon to remind me what the heck I wrote. I get my heart into it, back into it. I wrote down that living by faith submits all our plans to God for approval. It says, in all you do, submit it to God. But I was thinking about, there's a piece of it. All of that is a piece of our faith. It's like, my plans, I'll tell you why, I put motivation. Romans 14:23 said something super challenging. It says, everything that does not come from faith is what?
sin.
Ow. That's why I settled on motivates. Everything that I do, living by faith, means that every choice I make, how I live my life, needs to be out of faith. Can you imagine what you and I would look like if we lived that way fully? Wow. Living by faith, so that every one of my decisions, and that's not like, you know, it's not like super controlling. It's like, oh man, the shirt I wore today, is that by faith? You know, it's like, oh, this color that I'm wearing. No, it's about heart. Is it God wanted me to wear clothes today? He didn't care what color. I like the color I chose. I do have my wife, if I wear a t-shirt, I say, hey, does this color goes with this shirt? And sometimes I do it all on my own, and sometimes she says, those don't go together. You know how guys are. They're like, sure, what's the big deal? But I, by faith, all that we do to be motivated, it's like, I just thinking about what, how I spend my free time. I tend to be a workaholic. I'm a recovering workaholic. I love projects. I love to get things done. And I get out of balance. And so I have to say, and it's one of those kind of things that what you do, people are going to say, oh, that is so sinful that you did that you mowed the lawn. That is so sinful. Well, you know, if it's not done by faith, out of faith, then it is. And here's how, and I've shared before, if I'm doing it, I know that I'm exhausted and I need to chill and take a break. And I know it's raining next week. And I go ahead and mow the yard when I know I should rest. That's sin. Because I'm not, faith says, it's completely okay that my lawn does not get mowed for 2 weeks. It's completely okay if I'm choosing to obey you, Lord, and rest. That was a decision I had to make yesterday. And I know that sounds trite, but it's how we get to practice. Can be eating. I love food. My downfall is snacks at night. You know, after, you know, 8 o'clock. I love snacks. We got some cool snacks. I like cream cheese with my pepper jelly on it. It was like, oh, how could you stand that? Other views are going, I love hot stuff. And it, as a snack, it's like, I have been known to eat a whole cube of cream cheese and want more. Do you think that's living by faith? That's not living by faith. And I just say, God, would you help me to see where I'm not living by faith in my relationship? You know, I have wins. I could say, you know, I knew I wasn't going to mow, I didn't mow the lawn yesterday. You know, I really wanted to. I knew it wasn't healthy. Obviously, I'm struggling with a cold. Thinking about, it is. I next to the TV, some of you may have noticed, we put up some new signs. It's some direction signs we've been trying to put up around the property for people who are new, come, and once you've been here, it's not a huge property, you kind of know where stuff is. But if you've ever been to some place the first time, don't you recognize when there's not good signage? You know, after you've been there, it's so obvious, like, we visited a lot of churches last summer. We recognized terrible signage. In fact, we even asked people, they say, hey, where's the restroom? Oh, just down there through that door. We still spent 10 minutes trying to find down there through that door was. No signs. That wasn't my point. My point is that I love projects, And that project probably was 6 weeks in taking shape. I had to design it. My wife saw something that she liked, said, "Ah, that's like this could that I try." Order the letters, figure out the barn wood to put them on, how to put it together. And that was my exercise of faith. And I know that sounds silly, but I tend to walk through projects that I see without stopping. I will not stop until it's done, and I've been known to be up till midnight or two working on a project. And that's not healthy. And so I've been learning how to get done what you get done that day, and there'll be tomorrow. I.e. mowing the lawn, I'll have to get it done. It's okay if it goes 2 weeks. And that project was a slow process in coming. And honestly, I'm so broken that I cannot wait to get done with my sermon prep so that I can do a project. It's my reward. Because I love whether it's shopping on for Amazon for something fun or going and putting something together. But my faith said that that will get done when it's supposed to get done. You need to keep your priorities right with me. And so I was super jazzed yesterday when we came down yesterday afternoon and we were able to hang that up. Because that was an exercise of my being able to say, of setting God's priorities, my faith walk. You know, I think there are more significant things, but it just, I want to be somebody who lives by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. There is nothing more rewarding than pleasing your Creator. He gave us His Holy Spirit, and He will confirm your obedience to you. It'll give you peace. It'll give you hope. It will give you insight into your circumstances, understanding. It'll give you perseverance. And it will change your heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, Lord, that challenges us. Lord, I want it. Your word, you're so good, God. You encourage us, but at the same time, you challenge us. Lord, we need you to see into our heart things that are out of whack, things that we're doing out of our own motivation instead of by faith. Lord, I am just super challenged, reminded of this scripture, that like everything that I do that's not from faith is sin. God, would you help me evaluate my decisions, my choices, my planning? Lord, that I know there's things, Lord, you're talking to me about, and I'm wrestling with them. I recognize, and I say this out prayer out loud because I think some of you, I'm not willing to live by faith in some areas because it knows that I'm going to have to give something up. I know there's things I want that may not be what you want for me, Lord, right now. Lord, I submit those things in this moment. I submit those things to you, God. I want to live by faith, not by sight. Lord, I pray that for our church, that we would begin to see the unseen. See that heart change is more important than an external result, than people liking us. We love you, God. Amen.